got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we loves undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Either go to church.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. When we started today, Julie said, you sound down. Is everything okay? What's wrong? I said, just the usual shenanigans and nonsense. It's not that I'm depressed or worried or anything like that. It's just ridiculous. I mean, first of all, it's ridiculous that we have people doing the kinds of things that are being done, but it's more ridiculous that they're trying to tell us that's not what they're doing and it's right in your face. And it's more ridiculous if people are adopting it like it's not a big deal. It's all ridiculous. I just, you know. Anyway, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, to recap the announcements that I mentioned in the first hour, bottom of the first hour. The quilt raffle. We're coming to the end of the quilt raffle. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win this fabulous package, including the Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers. Should we say that it's a requirement to hand the business cards and bumper stickers out when you get them? Just kidding. The analysis here on RBN hopefully is somewhat unique. There's a lot of echo chamber stuff going on that sounds different, maybe on the face of it, but really isn't. And there's, you know, I mentioned cannibalism yesterday. I don't know who, you know, I can say and who I can't. I think this is okay. I think it's okay if I say that Rhonda sent me the article, the Gateway Pundit article about, you know, the breaking leaked audio confirms Rhino AZGOP chair Jeff DeWitt tried to bribe Carrie Lake. But, you know, speaking of cannibalism, that whole story is just like layers and layers and layers of psyop. What is going on there? Really, when you try to just look at it at face value and say, okay, who's benefiting here? What's really going on? The soundbite is strange. It is, it does sound, you know, clearly it sounds like it's been edited. DeWitt, his camp says that, you know, it was edited for effect, essentially. And why wait 10 or 11 months? That's interesting. If you're interested in exposing stuff, how was that worded? There were several articles, you know, we may or may not get to that. I don't know if there's even time for that, but, you know. I thought this was interesting. From azcentral.com, Carrie Lake attack on Arizona GOP chair was orchestrated, letter suggests. So from that article, unless one views betrayal and blackmail, not to mention waiting 10 months for the just right time to politically destroy someone as somehow patriotic. But then this sentence, this kind of says it all to me. Lake has said she didn't release the tape. Okay, you know, 60 Minutes did a series of pieces on the incestuous relationship between the federal agencies, FDA and CDC in particular, and the drug industry, and how they have little interlocutors that stand between these people. You know, someone from the agency, someone from the drug company, they're standing 10 feet apart, and there's some interlocutor standing between them and they're having a conversation. Each person is talking to the intermediary, and that way when they're interviewed later, did you – it's kind of like, you know, I mentioned yesterday the deal with, you know, Cat Williams' interview over at Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp, and he's talking about Cedric the Entertainer, and Cedric says in response, you know, I don't know that Cat Williams ever had a space shuttle joke. Space shuttle joke is mine. Well, Cat Williams never said that he had a space shuttle joke. You're obfuscating. That's misdirection. You're doing that on purpose. It's pretty obvious you're doing that on purpose. So anyway, Lake has said she didn't release the tape, that no blackmail was involved, and that she had a moral obligation to expose corruption. Wait a minute. Where's that scratchy record sound? Let me just put those two things together real quick. I'll read the whole sentence first and then do it. Lake has said she didn't release the tape, that no blackmail was involved, and that she had a moral obligation to expose corruption, though I haven't heard her explain why it took her nearly 11 months to do so. It's kind of an important point and valid. So these two things together. Lake has said she didn't release the tape and that she had a moral obligation to expose corruption. Who was there? You know, the conversation was allegedly recorded at her house. And, you know, those two anyway, Carrie Lake and Jeff DeWitt, you know, have a very close relationship. Is she their, you know, business partners? No, she works for him. You know, aside from politics, that's a strange story. You know, he's a Trump guy, but more of a moderate Trump guy. So we have the crazy, you know, radical election denier before him, and then him, and now what's her name, the new radical election denier. They're all Trumpers. They're all Trump people. You know, I'm not saying Trumper in my vernacular. That's what the story is all. All of the articles cast everyone involved as a Trumper, you know, as a Trump acolyte or whatever you want to say. So it's very bizarre, that whole thing, you know, and it, I've seen a number of articles on Carrie Lake and her transformation from an Obama toady to, you know, a Trump radical. And somebody wrote, I forget who it was, that she likes the revolutionary thing from, you know, then to now. And she did have a stint with Buddhism. She says she's, you know, now she's a Christian, but, you know. So is she a theosophist? Is she a unity churcher like Marianne Williamson and others? What's her deal? It's, you know, more than meets the eye. Can you take it all at face value? I don't think so. Anyway, the clip that I was thinking of where, you know, somebody says it was Ruslan Karaglanov, his YouTube channel, Blessed God Studios, Ruslan KD. He's, you know, he's a Christian YouTuber, but is he really? Really? He's from Azerbaijan. How dare you? I don't care where he's from. The truth is the truth and a lie is a lie. You know, it's a very magical, mystical channel that he maintains under the, I would say, specious guise of Christianity. It's very flashy. It's very creepy, esoteric, and weird, in my opinion. Anyway, he's the one who says, you know, Jonathan Rumi and Dallas Jenkins and all those guys, they didn't, nobody said that, you know, it's not the real Jesus, obviously. Yeah. But Jonathan Rumi just posted that video recently that everyone's fanning out, you know, a bunch of fangirls. Jonathan and Jesus official trailer on his official channel. Jonathan Rumi official. Jonathan and Jesus official trailer. Should we play that again? Oh my gosh, I don't want to play this. Russlin says, you know, there are a couple of other interesting Russlins. When I think of Russlin, I think of Russlin Sarney. Just saying, no offense, but, you know, Uncle Russlin. Who is Graham Fuller? The article series that disappeared. Everybody wrote about Graham Fuller. And then Graham Fuller vanished. Trevor Aronson says, you know, there are only like one or two real terrorist attacks like the Boston bombing. Trevor, who is Russlin Sarney? Who is Graham Fuller? Why is Russlin Sarney living in CIA counter intel guy Graham Fuller's basement? And who are the Sarnev brothers in relation to Uncle Russlin? Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll play the Jonathan Rumi thing, and then I got to go back to other stuff. But before we do that, I suppose I should finish the announcements. Please support the network. Make a donation of $250 or more for your chance to win the package, the Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, T-shirt, business cards, bumper stickers. More importantly, support the network. You can do that a variety of ways. Visit the website to, you know, for more on that, just see the little donate thing or the menu item, main menu item for that. See the website for details on the quilt raffle that ends at the end of this month, which is tomorrow. And for details on how to support the network. There's also the Dear RBN letter posted. Your support directly and of our sponsors and advertisers. Your support of the network is valued and greatly appreciated. So thank you. This is a listener-supported network. It exists because of you. So you are Dear RBN. And if you're on social media, check out the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. So the Jonathan Rumi thing, you know, this in spite of the fact that Russlin says, you know, these guys aren't saying, nobody's saying, Dallas Jenkins isn't saying that Jonathan Rumi is Jesus and people are thinking of this. Maybe if you think that way, maybe you have the problem, Russlin says. Maybe you're the one with the problem because they're not representing the Chosen or Jonathan Rumi that way. Really? Here is from Jonathan Rumi's official YouTube page, Jonathan and Jesus official trailer. Can we play that, please?
A woman was in the back of the church crying out to him and calling him Jesus.
This is like the best day of my life.
This is just bizarre.
I love Jesus.
Playing Jesus Christ. That has to be a huge responsibility.
So this is it? This is the beginning? This is the start?
This is the start. Okay. Right now is the start.
My life has gotten pretty insane the last year.
The Chosen is the first multi-season series about the life of Christ.
It's also the highest crowdfunded TV project of all time.
Christianity is the largest religious audience in the world, and there's nobody that's playing Jesus at this scale.
When you're playing a really iconic character like Jesus, you feel like you have extra responsibilities.
When you look over the centuries, Jesus is depicted in every medium, and he continues to be referenced over and over again in culture.
You're talking Jesus.
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo T-shirt.
Jesus Christ at our dinner table.
Does anything make you feel more uncomfortable than some stranger going, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus?
He has expressed to me that he does have a desire to learn more about Jesus.
What could this carpenter from a forgotten corner of the Roman Empire possibly have to say to our world today?
I have so much to talk to you about. I am serious.
The whole Jesus Christ thing, what do you do with that?
I meet people that tell me that when they pray to Jesus, they see my eyes.
But is he the Messiah? He's not trying to be the Messiah. He's not on that trip.
It's starting to scare me.
My life has always been, in some way, hiding behind the character.
You can't make everyone happy, so you do what you can.
For somebody who cares about control, the idea of surrender seems like the absolute worst outcome.
How do I not be this when I don't want to be? How do I turn it off?
Everyone is looking for three things in life: purpose, love, and connection.
It's not until you get to the end of yourself that you get to the beginning of something else.
I know it's a lot of pressure, but some people will form an opinion about God based on you.
Hey, Jesus!
What's going on?
You excited? You ready?
It's an entirely life-altering experience, and I have no idea where it's going to go. But here I am.
Yeah. Here I am, which I would say is an allusion. Is it Isaiah 5? You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm reading in to things. But is it Isaiah 5 or 6? I always get them mixed up for some reason. Isaiah 6. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me, Isaiah." And then as basically a rebuke. Careful, don't get and that's the irony. You know, many people have cautioned against these kind of emotional types of things, which is where everything is moving more and more, trying to get away from the sobriety of mind that God tells us that we should strive for and maintain, versus the constantly emotional experience, which is a very, you know, that is a satanic direction, plain and simple. Get you all caught up in feelings and emotion, which is the same thing happening politically and in every walk of life. So, you know, Isaiah says, here I am, send me. And so God said, go and tell this people. And Isaiah is from an affluent family. He's it's an aristocratic family, let's say. So God says, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, the ears dull, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Isaiah says, then I said, Lord, how long? And I think there's an argument to be made. It's not just, okay, how long do I have to do this? It's a lament. Can you imagine? You're like, here I am, Lord, send me. And he goes, okay, go tell them this thing that they don't want to hear. And they might want to, you know, might want to hang you up, you know, because you're telling them this. Speaking of Plato's cave, there's a reason they call them the weeping prophets. So I think there's maybe a little bit of a lament, at least in my humble opinion, in his how long. And then again, God says, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Anyway, none of that sounds fun to me. I don't want to go tell my people that, you know, whether I feel, you know, whether I feel self-conscious about it or not. If I love any of the people that message is going out to, and what will happen as a result, kind of like we are here in America these days, you can't help but feel burdened somewhat by that message. Anyway, it's interesting. Here I am. And he says, you know, how do I, you know, not be this when I don't want to be? How do I turn it off? Simple. Just say, you know what, this is inappropriate. I can't be a part of this any longer. There's no melodrama required. It's very simple. And who was it that said, I forget who it says, but you know, who is it that says, Philip Yancey, I think maybe. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout
because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
I don't know who it was who said that. What did I say? Philip Yancey? It's not Philip Yancey. I'm not sure who it is. But, you know, everybody's in it. Francis Chan, Alice Cooper, Cheryl Cooper, Sheila E., Philip Yancey. You know, all kinds of celebrities. The Pope is in this clip. Apparently the Vatican signed off on this. I doubt that it would still be up if, you know, the Vatican had a problem with it. Astonishing. I wonder if I could meet the Pope. Not that I would want to. But, you know, Jonathan Rumi did. He's not trying to be Jesus, except that's what's happening to people. Why are you talking about all this God stuff all the time? This is the front lines. Divide et impera and, you know, ordo ab caeo. So divide and rule in mass psychology sort of fashion, divide us up, cut us out from the herd, so to speak, get you feeling like you're all alone, and then frag your hard drive through perception management and a little bit of chaos magic, and then, you know, bring in the Ordo. Here's what to believe. Don't trust yourself. You can't trust anything. Trust us. Trust the experts. Trust Jonathan Rumi. Chris, if everybody's saying The Chosen is great, you know, and now they're reading their Bible more. Yeah. I'm not convinced. I'm not persuaded. Not buying it. This is why. It's all the same stuff. You know, and the truth is right out in plain sight. WGN Chicago says that, you know, the experts are saying that they think U.S. and Israelis are closely linked to the attack. Why would they think that? Patrick Clausen says, I frankly think that crisis initiation is tough. Maybe we should talk about, you know, I was going to do some of this stuff yesterday. I didn't do it. Maybe we'll talk about the southern border in a minute. People are confused about stuff and they don't understand how confused they are. Apparently, the, you know, my remarks about the natural law stuff yesterday and Chuck Baldwin's most recent Sunday sermon touched a nerve. I did a show. Was it last week or the week before? I think it's in the last couple of weeks. Natural philosophy. What's that all about? It was earlier this month, the beginning of the month, actually, right out of the gates. It was Thursday the 4th, I believe. The laws of nature and nature's God. What does that phrase mean? Is that biblical? Do you read that phrase anywhere in the Bible? No, you do not. That is rooted in natural philosophy. Some, you know, like Bill Cooper used to say, the founders were humanist, or you know, these guys in that era. Go really dive into, you know, John Locke, David Hume, Milton, all these guys. I admit, I'll be the first to admit, I was beguiled. I want to buy into the myth that America is unique on the historical landscape. We're special. You know, a republic, not a democracy. Do you understand how ironic it is when we say that and we want to grandstand over it? It's Plato's Republic, for Pete's sake. He literally wrote the book on it. So, you know, I'm sure the devil is applauding. Well played. Great performance. It is a republic, not a democracy. It's Plato's Republic. The New Atlantis. How many of us really have the courage to confront that reality? I mean, we're starting things with the Pledge of Allegiance, not knowing where it comes from. I want to do the Bellamy salute. What would happen if a bunch of people, you know, at the next football or baseball or basketball game or whatever, or maybe at your children's event, people start doing the Bellamy salute? What would happen? It'll probably get adopted and come back into vogue soon, so don't start doing it. Oh, yeah, we should do that. We're all good fascists anyway. Exactly, they would join in, yeah. That's where we're at now, sadly. It wouldn't be shocking. It would be, oh, yeah, Donald Trump, a businessman who can run a government like a business. Let's do the Bellamy salute. Oh, my goodness. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
February is Heart Month. And every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a two-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Telepathy thing here in a second. Appreciation to everyone. I think there's you know, a growing number of us who are sort of kind of on the same page. I don't know how to say it exactly without it sounding woo-woo or some other conscripted, you know, terminology, but it sounds like there are a lot of people sort of coming to their senses. I feel like I finally am. You know, I'll get back to the flat earth discussion, for a lack of a better way to, you know, that's a crude way to put it. But, you know, what sort of came to a head yesterday, especially in the second hour. And, you know, again, it really, for me, it has nothing to do with the shape of the earth. It has everything to do with honoring my creator and the creator of heaven and earth, him and his creation, not to worship his creation. That's bad, Romans 1, but to honor him. And if he says this is how it is, then this is how it is. Not to be you know, Jedi mind tricked into other things. Well, you know, is there evidence in the Bible that the earth is flat? Well, maybe, but you know, is there evidence in the Bible that it's a ball? Again, it's not about the shape of the earth. It's about honoring God. That's what it's about. Who's in charge? Who decides? You might not win friends and influence people. Back to Paul. He says, I've become a fool for Christ. You know what? All of that stuff that I had, all of those degrees and honorary degrees, what are degrees anyway? And, you know, all of the accolades and the, you know, congratulatory stuff and awards and things. Paul says, I count it all as dung. That's what the King James says, that I may win Christ. It's, you know, it's a pile of, you know, it's a road apple. Means nothing. So, great. Not going to win friends and influence people. Whose approbation are you seeking? Who's in charge? Who decides? So here's a little thing, you know, before we move on. And I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm not trying to offend anybody, really. But I do feel like maybe it's not a bad thing to shock the conscience a little bit, gently. Hopefully nothing too, you know, I'm not trying to be caustic or incendiary or, you know, anything like that. But just to call nonsense nonsense and to say, you know, let's stop trying to soft pedal nonsense or buy into it. So when you come to natural philosophy and natural law, they're inextricably linked. I talked about natural philosophy back on the 4th of January, 2024. And I will continue to pursue this because it's imperative to understand our history. You know, Newton's Philosophiae Naturalis Principia Mathematica. This is the religion America is founded on. Newton, guys like Michio Kaku, you know, hey, we're all just good Kabbalists. Isn't it funny how science is allegedly the language that unites the world? But it's, you know, the pseudoscience that it has, how do you say it? Not become. It's always been this, you know, real science acknowledges the Bible and reality of God and his creation and all of that, the undeniable aspects. But there has been this incubatory element down through the ages, let's say from Plato forward. And Manly P. Hall writes about it. And where better to hide it than, you know, among the sheep? Who invented the concept of human shields? Not the Taliban, not Al-Qaeda. They probably got the idea from, you know, an alphabet soup team. So, you know, there's been this incubation down through the Royal Society and so on. You know, the, what do you call it? The Royal Society is, you know, allegedly the invisible college, right? The invisible college. So this is the, you know, Rosicrucian hermetic incubation of this stuff that becomes what we call science, which is really pseudoscience. But it has so much backing. How can you cast aspersions on it? Who are you to say? Look at all of these institutions and think tanks and universities, and it is what it is. Anyway, we'll come back to all of that later. But here is an interesting little bit, a little snippet. Let's see, before I get all twisted around. That's where I was. Natural law. So natural philosophy is essentially the religion that America was founded on. Sorry, that's just reality. If you go to the Wikipedia entry for natural law, not that Wikipedia is the oracle, it's just a source that we can say is pedestrian and whitewashed in most cases. It's not Conspiracy Blog Central. Oh my goodness, it's a conspiracy. This is from the Wikipedia entry for natural law. Modern natural law theories took shape in the Age of Enlightenment. Oh, that's interesting. Modern natural law theories took shape in the Age of Enlightenment, combining inspiration from Roman law. What kind of symbolism do we have all over the place in America? Christian scholastic philosophy. Do you understand what scholasticism is? It's kind of like saying, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like saying you can be a Christian mystic or Christian socialist. They're, you know, oxymoron. Ne'er the twain shall meet. Christian scholastic philosophy and contemporary concepts such as social contract theory. Interesting. You know, John Stuart Mill and those guys. Social contract. It was used in challenging the theory of the divine right of kings and became an alternative justification for the establishment of a social contract, positive law and government, and thus legal rights in the form of classical republicanism. Classical republicanism. In the early decades of the 21st century, the concept of natural law is closely related to the concept of natural rights. Indeed, many philosophers, jurists, and scholars use natural law synonymously with natural rights or natural justice. Though others distinguish between natural law and natural right. Anyway, and then, you know, next paragraph, why not? Because of the intersection between natural law and natural rights, natural law has been claimed or attributed as a key component in the Act of Abjuration, 1581, of the Netherlands, the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God, endowed by their creator. Sure, deists are monotheistic. Masons are monotheistic, the Gautu, right? Come on now. If it's not a religion, why is it a temple and an altar? The Declaration of Independence, 1776, of the United States, the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. They put up the bad guy thing and the straw man, and then they tip it over, wasn't it? George Bernard Shaw, who said something, you know, imprescriptible rights of man, bah, hogwash. Anyway, they put up their little straw man so they tip it over. So the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen, 1789, and of France, French Revolutionary Territory, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, adopted by the United Nations General Assembly. Do you see where the Declaration of Independence is getting lumped in here? And the European Convention on Human Rights, 1953. And then, you know, history, ancient Greece, natural law. Although Plato did not have an explicit theory of natural law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, don't want to get too far ahead. Back up. modern natural law theories took shape in the age of the age of enlightenment. How can you say that when someone like Chuck Baldwin says natural law is biblically based, that's false? That's a false statement. How can you say that, Chris? Well, let me just give it to you really simply. Two Wikipedia entries, natural law Wikipedia entry and history of Christianity Wikipedia entry. The section on the history of Christianity Wikipedia entry is the Enlightenment. Ooh, there's an Enlightenment section? Yeah, there is. Okay, let me just put these together real quick. Natural law Wikipedia entry. Modern natural law theories took shape in the age of Enlightenment. Et cetera, et cetera. I already read all the et cetera, right? Modern natural law theories took shape in the age of Enlightenment. Hopping over to the history of Christianity, the Enlightenment section. There is a historiographical consensus that the Enlightenment was anti-Christian, anti-church, and anti-religious. Gosh, you know, if I didn't know better, I would swear that sounds like, those Illuminized 6 points that Robeson wrote about that Nesta Webster reminded us of. Abolition of monarchy and all ordered government, abolition of private property, abolition of inheritance, abolition of patriotism. A lot of this sounds like the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. Abolition of the family, i.e. marriage and all morality and the institution of communal education of children. And 6, abolition of all religion. So history of Christianity, there is a historiographical consensus that the Enlightenment was anti-Christian, anti-church, and anti-religious. The Enlightenment was not merely a war with Christianity, since many changes to the church were advocated by Christian moderates. I would use the term Christian moderates with heavy air quotes. I would call them, you know, apostate rebels. Because the more you dive down that rabbit hole, the more you realize, you know, it's types like Alice Bailey and C.W. Ledbetter who have a ministerial background in some cases. They become those workers of iniquity who have departed from the faith and lead many astray. So, you know, this is why all this religious talk? Well, you know, is America a Christian nation? That doesn't mean that there haven't been devout Christians along the way. Absolutely there have been. That's the flock. That's the human shield that this malfeasance has been hidden in. So that's it right there. Natural law. Modern natural law theories took shape in the age of Enlightenment. And there is a historiographical consensus that the Enlightenment was anti-Christian, anti-church, capital C, and anti-religious. What more do you say? I mean, I think that's enough to sort of spell it out. Again, I'm not trying to upset anybody or be combative or confrontational. I'm just saying we need to dispense with the nonsense that these lies that we've been fed and bought into are not lies. Let's stop calling the truth a lie and lies the truth. That's all. So I'll do more on this, but, you know, hopefully that if you dive down the rabbit hole of the intellectual current of the day, then you will discover that these two excerpts together are the operative soundbite. Modern natural law theories took shape in the Age of the Enlightenment, from the Natural Law Wikipedia entry, and then from the History of Christianity Wikipedia entry. There is a historiographical consensus. In other words, it's not just one person's, you know, the wild fantasy of some, you know, fringe lunatic. There is a historiographical consensus that the Enlightenment was anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-religious. The separation of church and state. Well, that's not what he meant. Really? Jefferson was an Illuminized figure. He was a vice-out sympathizer. I think, last thing I'll say, we'll go to the phones. I think that a lot of the stuff that was written in the day was written backwards in Lewis Carroll, through the looking glass down the rabbit hole sort of fashion. So that when you look at it, you know, it reads whatever way you want it to read. Yesterday was, you know, Anton Chekhov was born on this day yesterday, the 29th of January. And he wrote, "Despicable means used to achieve laudable goals render the goals themselves despicable." And I also was thinking of Voltaire. You know, bad guys always seem to express things so well. Voltaire is one of those. So Voltaire, is the guy who wrote that it's dangerous to be right in matters on which the established authorities are wrong, essentially. And, you know, nobody knows better than this guy. Anyway, all of our perception has been managed and messed with and flipped. Our compass basically has sort of been reversed. I'm just trying to sort that out. All right, to the phones we go. Tom, sorry we missed you. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, and behold, morning, a dead horse.
Yeah.
Hey, behold, I got an indeed idea. Let's blame Jean-Jacques Rousseau for all our problems. How's that?
I think that sounds fantastic.
He's certainly culpable. But,
yeah.
Yes, definitely. Of course, the father of modern humanism, isn't it? Did I get that right?
I think.
The father of socialism, and then, well, then it was downhill all the way, right?
Absolutely.
But anyway, so just want to say one thing before I leave, that Descartes learned all his mathematics from the Jesuits, so you can take it from there.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you tomorrow. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Oh, the Friends of Loyola. Yeah. Yeah. So methods of curating things and passing them on, you know, you take that group together with Gutenberg's movable type press, and then you're off to the races. Make sure that you spread your stuff to your buddies and make sure that you tell everyone else what they're supposed to hear. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's definitely Rousseau's fault. But we don't have to take responsibility for ourselves, that's for sure. Whatever happens, we shouldn't blame ourselves. Tom, sorry we missed you. Also, speaking of misses, we missed Kit yesterday in California. I apologize for that, too. I didn't realize that we had another call yesterday, and we were running short on time anyway. We were trying, everybody was trying to cram stuff in. Should we do the telepathy thing? I don't know if we have time, and we have to wait for a moment, so I don't know. We really... This is just another one of the myriad ways that we're being messed with. The tweet, or the post on X, I guess it's called now, from Tesla Economics. This is really next level. It's no wonder the first Neuralink product is called telepathy. So you take that, you put that together with the telepathy Wikipedia entry, speaking of very mystical, magical. You think you understand what telepathy is all about, right? Wikipedia, the term was first coined in 1882 by the classical scholar Frederick W.H. Myers, who's a very woo-woo figure, a founder of the Society for Psychical Research. What were they doing? Theosophical, mystical types that they were. Telepathy experiments have historically been criticized for a lack of proper controls and repeatability. But don't worry, we have modern technology to fix all that now. Anyway, Society for Psychical Research, all kinds of fun stuff, Frederick W.H. Myers, so many other, you know, thought reading, et cetera, et cetera. But if you go down to the section, as this dear friend mentions, the section titled Psychiatry is particularly problematic. I intended to get to this today and to flesh out the conversation from the end of yesterday's broadcast. I'll do that tomorrow. We're headed toward the end today. But if you read, you know, go to the telepathy Wikipedia entry and read the section titled Psychiatry. And then I would just remind people that, as I have mentioned, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, on that Wikipedia entry, let's see if it's still there. Looks like it's been diagnosis. Let's see. The DSM-5 indicates that in order to qualify as symptomatic of NPD or any personality disorder, the person's manifested personality traits must substantially differ from social norms. Who decides what constitutes social norms? Look at that. Compare that with the psychiatry section of telepathy. See if you can sort of read between the lines. What's going on there? But you know what? It's a good thing, because Elon and friends are, you know, that's the Neuralink concept, telepathy. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.